Mr. Jerry.
So, all right.
Do you have anything to say to us?
Well, we have a discussion to lead.
Okay.
So, which means I would love to hear lots of input from lots of people. So it's just not me lecturing, it's a discussion. But tonight we talk about consent. We're sort of continuing where Magnum left off a couple weeks ago. And I'd like to start off with a definition of sexual health by the World Health Organization.
Who?
The World Health Organization.
Who?
Yes, who, exactly. Sexual health is a state of physical, emotional, mental, and social well-being in relation to sexuality. It is not merely the absence of disease, dysfunction, or infirmity. Sexual health requires a positive and respectful approach to sexuality and sexual relationships, as well as the possibility of having pleasurable and safe sexual experiences, free of coercion, discrimination, and violence. For sexual health to be attained and maintained, the sexual rights of all persons must be respected, protected, and fulfilled. I like that definition because it does go beyond just the absence of disease or dysfunction. And it includes consent. We talk about the sexual rights of others. Because for any of the things that we do, we must consent to it. So from here, in some of the trainings I do, we've come up with six sexual health principles. And they go with the safe, sane, consensual, and the RAC, the risk awareness, consensual kink. But we come up with, consensual, again, non-exploitive, honest, shared values, mutual pleasure, and protection. So how do we incorporate all of these things into our kink, into our sexual activity, into our relationships with other people, especially our sexual relationships with other people? Can we be honest? If we're going to be consent, how do we be honest? And what do we need to be honest about?
What we like.
What we like. And what we don't like?
We don't like.
How about a disease status or an infection status? How about, what we're willing and not willing to do? Who was I talking to someone earlier about castration? Some people may want to go there. That's not where I'm going. mutual pleasure. How does someone get pleasure from something? And sometimes it's watching someone else get pleasure is their pleasure. Or being flogged, or I heard at the Club X party, being flogged with barbed wire.
Ouch.
Ouch. While wrapped in barbed wire.
Yeah.
What's pleasurable?
What's pleasurable?
Yeah.
Bubble.
You were talking about being honest, and I tend to take it to the hyper extreme because one, I'm a big scary guy, and a lot of people that I play with are newbies. But I'm very successful establishing trust with a capital T because I'm honest with everything from moment to moment, from instant to instant, not just negotiating play. But if I'm sitting across from somebody having coffee with them or at a meal, I have to be absolutely, completely transparent from moment to moment. Because just about anything will set off somebody with what is called landmines, where they go, oh no, I knew it, I knew I couldn't trust it. So you have to be absolutely bullshit free. I mean, not just about negotiating a scene or talking about sex or serial status, but if you're really going to be playing with somebody, the whole point is to set up trust. So that you can get your next level and then your next level.
And that can be very scary because most people are worried about being rejected. Mm-hmm. So if I'm honest, will I be rejected? Goes in there. So all our shit comes up, all our stuff. starts coming up when we start being honest, being to go.
I was being honest years and years and years ago. I went to spend the night with a guy, and in the passion of the moment, whatever, I'm grabbing his hair and the toupee. Because he was worried that I wouldn't accept him bald, and it's like he was very sexy bald, but you know, it was just the weirdest thing. The thing that he hadn't told me, you know, that, by the way, would you prefer me with my hair or not my hair?
Because we're worried about rejection. We all have these values we place on ourselves, and, you know, am I good enough? Am I not, you know, am I not good enough? You know, oh, if I have no hair, people won't like me. You know, if so, how do we be honest? Are we even honest with ourselves, never mind with another person? And with that, what is consent? And how do we consent then? And this, the consent we know is negotiable. Just because I said yes that you're going to flog me with barbed wire doesn't mean I can change. I get to change my mind.
What?
Yes, exactly. Exactly. I go, no, that's not what I thought. It's all negotiable as we negotiate a scene. So once we say yes, we get to say no, or once we said no, we get to change our mind and say, you know, maybe I will try it. But it's the trusting, as Tony talked about, it's that trust. And it's scary.
What's the good part about it?
That's the, what is it, the risk awareness in the rack, Tony?
Part of the reason why I'm creeped out about the online experience is because it's a very narrow bandwidth of information. You can't, how can you trust somebody if you've only been texting with them? You know, because you can't see whether they're trying to bullshit you. You know, your senses are going, what's going on here if you're sitting across from somebody? And maybe it means that I'm just an old-timer, but I prefer full bandwidth communication because trust has to go in both directions. See, I'm the big sadistic top, so of course, you know, I have to establish trust with them, but they have to establish trust with me, too. I can get harmed. I could be tossed into jail, you know, if they say, oh, he did it without my consent. So I have to be able to trust that who I'm going to play with is not going to go off into the weeds, you know, and take me with them, you know. So I have to have full communication where I can tell if my gut says don't trust this, I'm not going to take it any further.
Now, Magnum, you say you do the same thing. You go for coffee first.
Yeah,
I prefer the, I like that, expanded bandwidth, Because the body doesn't lie. You know, you can pick up stuff from, you know.
Right, the body language.
The body language.
Yes.
As opposed to looking at a phone or your screen at home.
That's why on Recon years ago, I said I do not text or change pictures and didn't set up to meet, and that's how I do it.
Well, I don't play in the first time, you know. We'll
meet. I don't care about that, but I have to see
right.
you.
Yes.
We have to talk.
We have to meet.
Yeah.
We have to meet up.
I Skyped with a guy at Recon about 3 months ago, and pictures were very attractive, masculine, macho, and the second that the Skype picture came up, and he was 30 years, if not more, older. It was like, what were you thinking?
Yeah.
You know, and there's not a single picture that's honest about the way you look now. And so it's like, the conversation was really short-lived.
So if they're not being honest about that, how can they consent to some of the other stuff we're doing?
Yeah.
It really leaves the question, what else are they not being honest about? Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. If your gut tells you there's something wrong, trust it.
Do you think you would notice?
Well, I know somebody who said that a guy flew all the way to Atlanta and he went to pick him up at the airport, and the guy was about 34 years older and about 100 pounds heavier than how he described himself. And he said, I don't know what you were thinking, but you better go back to the ticket counter because you're not coming home with me. And that guy came all that way hoping maybe he might then, you know, still like what he saw. You know, it's like,
oh my God.
But both parties seem to be liable.
And if you would have been honest in the beginning,
it
would have been very different.
It still may have worked. Who knows?
Yeah.
So, but we're afraid. We're afraid to be honest with each other. Because it means we have to be vulnerable.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. The term they use now is catfishing, right?
That's yes.
The, yes.
How really? Does that show? Catfishing.
How does that show? Yeah.
What is catfishing?
Never heard of it.
That's falsifying a profile.
Yeah. Oh. Catfishing is when they have a conversation with somebody, they like take somebody's Facebook
picture. Oh. Or even an older picture.
They represent it as themselves, and they have this relationship.
This 2020 did it about a couple years ago, and they went and actually... The guy turned out to be like a 30-year-old lesbian woman who just was getting her power by pretending to be this very dominant man and so forth. And
there's a whole show about it on MTV.
Yeah.
It's a good show.
Is it a good show? That's not what we should be doing.
No, they call people out on their bullshit, which I think is a great... I love to do that.
It turns out that a lot of like the show, when I watched it before, that like... girls think that they're talking to guys, that they actually go and it's like big, butchy lesbian women. Mm-hmm. They're totally different people, different races. And it's,
yeah, and that's not what we want to be doing here.
No.
That's not. That's
but you can meet nice people on the internet too.
Oh, you can.
Because I met him on the internet and we talked for 8 years, mostly through IM and things on our fetish website that we met on. And then we started talking through a video camera every once in a while, and then talking on the phone, and then we started Skyping, and then he finally came over here, and we met each other for the first time in person, after knowing each other online for 7 years, and he got off the plane, and he looked at me, and he's like, wow, he's like, you look better in person than you do over the Skype.
That's the reaction we want.
So, I mean, there's people, there's bad people out there, and there's good people out there. It's just weeding them out, and hopefully you find the right person.
Tony?
Well, the reason why we're talking so much about establishing trust when the topic is consent is the other word that goes with consent is informed consent. And you have to have the real information in order to make real consent decision. Because, like I said, what works for me and has worked my entire adult life is what you see is what you get. Take it or leave it, this is it. And it turns out there's a lot of guys that like that, you know, what it is that I'm presenting. And I have to be honest with them too, you know, that I have to say, thank you for the offer, and I have plans already or whatever, because I get a lot of offers that for guys that are looking for this. And that's not a brag. You know, I have to let people down very, very carefully and sweetly so that I don't bruise them when they, you know, they bounce. But the point is that I have to make my own consent too. You know, that it's not a one-way thing when you're in a, you know, S&M relationship or a prospecting one.
Well, some of the kink that we do can be dangerous if I want to tie somebody up.
Yeah. It's very important because you put in your life, you know, you could be putting your life at stake. With rope or with sharp edged things, with, you know,
whether it's physical, whether it's emotional, but, you know, you can really harm someone.
So it's an added layer, not just the dating, but the, you know, the life issue. And,
so that informed consent, and you need to check in, you know, how we do it, you know, and figure out how you're going to do that. Whether it's gonna, you know, whether it's verbally, whether it's, you know, just eye contact, whatever it's gonna be, you know, we talk about safe words. Some people don't use safe words. Some people do. But in the beginning, if I don't know a person that I'm playing with, you know, and the other person, I don't want to use anything. I would do anything. And I go, I run away from those folks.
Yeah.
Be like,
you know,
really?
Yeah.
Anything?
You mean so? I think that that can be very scary when people are just putting themselves out there that much. Consenting to everything? No, I don't think so.
Well, I've shared this before because I heard this just about a couple months ago, but any bottom who's going to be tied up ought to take their own clicker or squeaky dog toy so that they've got it, so that then that's the clue. Click, 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 or squeak, 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 squeak.
Well, especially if they're gagged, if they're, you know, something that they can do that, and, or maybe they were unable to speak.
Yeah. Because that's protecting yourself.
Especially if you go into any sensory deprivation, if you're blindfolding them, blocking their ears, the hearing, and gagging them, how do you communicate with that person? You can read the body so much, but if it's a new, you know, someone you're playing with for the first time, you may not pick up all the signals.
Right.
So you really have to have that communication.
I'd like to talk a little bit about the old days. Jay backed me up on this. Back in the old days, it was dirt common to be thrown into prison. you know, for doing kinky things and being caught for it. So what we had to do as a culture is we had to have each other's back. The way that this showed up is, let's say you're in a crowded leather bar. Back in the days, we had crowded leather bars. And you would see somebody who was cruising this cute new face, and he's really doing, you know, a strong job of seducing him. And you go up to that cute young thing when the other guy goes to the bathroom and say, you realize you're going to be in the hospital if you leave with that guy. You know, he has a long history of that. Beware. I don't have any emotional or social attachment to him, but as a culture, we do take responsibility for each other's safety, well-being, and success, so that somebody can't portray themselves one way and then turn out to be something else once you're tied up. And that's what we used to do. Well, nowadays with the internet, that's still happening out there. But a large amount of the reason why Fetishmen in San Diego and Club X and various other groups operate is that we operate in the light. We're not sociopaths hiding in the dark. And so then consent can also be a social contract too, in the sense that you get information from brothers that you love and trust saying, oh, the two of you would get along so well. Go check it out. Because we're all adding our own credibility to that one guy, saying, oh yeah, you can trust him, go for it, brother, you'll have a lot of fun.
Yeah, vetting is something that is highly recommended in the community as a whole.
Yes.
Especially if you're playing with someone you don't know anything about. And because yeah, people definitely will portray themselves and something else. And usually it's real easy. You ask around and usually most people know about it.
Yes, and that's what, whether you're top or bottom, you know.
Yeah.
And it's, you want to have integrity
right
in your play. Because if not, the word's going to get out.
Oh, yeah, and that, and it's one of those things where usually, as a community, you let yourself, you know, you create this environment where there's open information. You know, if you want to know something about it, all you have to do is PM somebody and they'll find out for you.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And so everybody,
oh, yeah,
the tops back up the bottoms back up the tops, and so there's this network where these kinds of things can't happen.
Yeah.
You try and make it as airtight,
yeah,
as possible.
Yeah. I still don't guarantee, no, but it's better. It's a whole lot better.
Yeah.
I get those messages several times a week, actually, and I didn't think to mention it, where somebody will say, here's a picture of somebody that lives in San Diego, and this is how they portray themselves. Is this somebody that I can trust if I fly in from Seattle? And I say, oh, hell yeah. Or I'll say, I honestly don't know. But, you know, that's part of the network. Where, again, in an honor-based culture, which is what we really are, what Club X is, what we are, what Sandpaw is, the more of a stand-up kind of guy you are, the more respected you are, and the more likely you're going to get a lot of fun in your life. And if you're a weasel, if you're a sneak, then you're going to skulk away because nobody's going to give you any agreement that that's a good way to be. Because, I mean, there's one guy that came to talk to us back, I don't know, at least a year and a half ago. Well, it was when we were still over at Pleasures and Treasures. And he was supposed to talk about leather spirituality. Instead, he spent the first hour bragging about how he loved to do things non-consensually and getting away with it. Like he branded a guy who begged him not to. Shit like that. And I said, either you change what you're saying or you will leave. And he got all huffy about it and he hasn't been back. But I don't want that kind of talk to happen, you know, around us, because we operate at the other end of the spectrum. We're all consent all the time. And that whole non-consensual shit, there's a market out there for that. There's no doubt. There's people that are looking for that. They tend not to hang around with us.
I talked on the phone for about 2 weeks with somebody from Recon that was in supposedly San Francisco, and then suddenly just sent an email message that was like very dismissive and I don't want to talk to you anymore. And so nothing to give a clue that there was anything wrong with the plan to maybe meet, whatever. And then it turns out that I was able to do some tracking to find out that it was a disposable phone. So if you're thinking I'm going to get my neighbor the phone number of the guy I'm going to go see, it could be a disposable phone that they're using. And then, of course, it can't be traced. They're going to destroy the phone.
And so you need more information to share with somebody. Even if you mail it yourself, this is who I'm going to go see this weekend, and this is the ad, and mail yourself a letter. And of course, if something happens to you and somebody then opens up your mail and then sees the name, the address, and the phone number of where you were going.
I always write the address down on a piece of paper and leave it at home.
Yep.
I told a friend of mine, get where you're going, just text me that. That
we'll
have a ping
as
where you are.
Yes.
Another thing. I'm sorry, I just blanked for a moment. I'll get back to it, pardon me. Blank, my mind just farted.
So let's go around here. We haven't heard from everybody here, but about consent, and what does consent mean to you? Is it something different than what we've been talking about? Is there something more than what we've been talking about? What does it mean to you, and how do you go about working consent in the play and relationships you're involved in?
Go ahead, Jay. Consent to me means I am successful at stealing a person saying yes to everything I want. Not verbally, but,
right, somehow.
But through a foreplay. I'm believing a foreplay. And so when everything goes, you know, positive feedback from all my foreplay, then I know, okay, we're going on.
Consent to me is an agreement between two people about a situation or situations that are coming up in their relationship and how it will affect them in the long run.
And you, and affect you too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I always feel like consent for me is very fluid.
Mm-hmm.
It's consent now, it may not be consent later. It may change, it may modify itself. And so it's one of those things where you keep yourself open to the fact you don't get too emotionally invested. We're going to play a certain way and it's going to be this. No, this could modify itself. It could change. It could stop. You know, you find out there's just that one thing that they didn't even think of. You know, and so you always make sure you keep it very, no expectations, very fluid.
That could get even hotter.
Well, and there's the thing. It's like you can have somebody that goes, you know, that's all. I could add this. I could add this. Yay. You know, and yeah, totally.
So it's not always a negative, it could always get better, too.
Exactly.
But I like the idea of it being fluid.
Yeah.
I found it difficult being fluid with regular fuck buddies because each one has something they want you
sure.
for. They already have a lover or boyfriend, whatever, and they just want you for this one particular thing they need taken care of every
right.
now and then. And so you should always have to wait for them to initiate to go to the next
right.
step.
Sure.
So I don't really like them, I like initiating it.
Sure.
But with Puck Buddies, my experience has been that, you know, you just have to wait.
Well, there are limitations.
Yeah.
Because there are things they can't consent to.
So there are a lot of them?
You know, kind of playing off your idea of it being fluid, that at least my perception is, you know, when you're coming up with that initial trust or agreement or whatever, that's only for that one moment. Because my perception of what might happen can be one thing, but while it's really happening, it can be totally different. Do you mind if I do? Definitely. That, and some of you know this, and maybe some of you don't, but, you know, not too long after I got here, at a play party, Sir Jerry, we just talked for a little bit upstairs. Somehow this huge blanket of trust came over me.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt like I was, you know, we came down here and did some vlogging, and I felt like I was in a totally different space than I'd ever been before. And I think that one of the biggest pieces of that, I remember, I don't know who it was, but I remember somebody looking at us and commenting, saying, okay, you guys known each other for a long time, or you guys got something more going on, or, you know, it was just like that connection was there, and didn't even have to say anything. It was just absolutely nuts.
Well, no, you were begging for more, so.
Well, yeah. but I didn't, in the beginning, I mean, you know, you made statements, but I didn't know what those, I could hear the words, but I didn't know what really the words were.
Until you experienced it.
Exactly.
And then you continue, it was fluid, you continue to consent and agree to it.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Let me ask a question. Can you give consent if you are high or drunk?
No, Kennedy Coates says no.
No.
Excellent question. The answer is no. Can you give consent if you're high? You're under the influence of something.
No.
Not sure consent.
Who?
Not sure consent.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why places like
Can
Club X will allow you to be in a play party.
I will
yeah, or here as well.
Yeah. Yeah.
So supposing you give consent prior to getting high or drunk.
Oh, I'd still boot them out the door.
I
won't play with somebody who's high.
I don't think anybody drinks.
Mm-hmm.
Because it changes everything. Their perception completely changes.
Right,
yes.
Right. And I think your judgment is affected.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah. My party trick when I'm playing with somebody for the first time is setting up a connection so we're meeting on a perfect level, you know, exactly the same level. If they get high, we're not connecting on that same level, and I'm not interested because I can't read them accurately. The rules change when they're high.
Mm.
That's why if I'm in a bar and some drunk comes up to me and says, "Hey, it's my turn to get flogged," I say, "Come back when you're sober," because I won't play with them at all.
I like Papa Tony's on a scale of 1 to 10.
Yep.
I think a lot of you maybe use that. And so that when they say 3, I thought at least I was doing a 5. So then the consent says you can go do a lot more. And then if he's a couple minutes, check in and thinking it's going to be a 6 or 7. And they say, I'm 4.5. Well, okay. Here we go again. You know, it's like that's a definite consent.
It's a flowing consent that shifts and changes because you don't know what kind of magic is going to occur and on what level until you try it. And that's, I mean, I think I've never met anybody who's played with as many beginners as I have. And that's industrial strength consent that's going on. You know, and I'm not bragging, this is just true, and I teach other tops to do it too, in that they have to watch me being real with somebody else, where they trust me by watching me, how I am being with the guy that I'm playing with. And they come up with the tails wagging, "Oh, please, oh, please, oh, please, I want it for my first time, too." Well, you know, that's why I teach the way that I do on how to calibrate, because everybody's different. And they don't even consciously know what it is that they want or how they want it. All they want is they want. And so then you have to keep shifting when things shift, you know, and being flexible from moment to moment. And that is part of moment-to-moment consent.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Scott, I like that. It's not always Starbucks. You know, you have to do it on the fly sometimes.
Yeah.
Well, it changes.
Changes. Fluid. Yeah.
Several months ago, I saw something on Facebook. It was a video on YouTube about consent and tea, like the tea that you drink.
I saw that.
And I've watched that a couple of times, and that's great. You know, would you like some tea? Yes, okay, I'll go make it. And you come back, "Well, here's your tea." "Oh, I don't want any tea anymore." "But you said you wanted tea earlier."
"Well, I wanted the sugar."
Well, but it was brought about by trying to explain to some people how other people may say yes if they do want sex, but then not. And if you just instead of using SEX, if you use TEA, it's really fucking simple. Like, if somebody said they wanted some tea, and while you're making it, they go to bed and fall asleep, you're not going to open their mouth and pour the tea down. So,
wow.
Yeah. Unless you pre-negotiated that, that's what this video was about.
Sleepy tea.
But be in the kitchen when they're making the tea, so you don't. They don't put the date rape or whatever in the tea. Right out. I have so many people, you know, that, you know, they go into the kitchen and then they put something in your drink and bring it out. Well, you look at Bill Cosby. Perfect example. Cosby and all the women that he drugged and woke up.
Is that how you get it? I hope that's not going to be people looking.
But he asked them after he drugged them.
Okay. If you haven't seen the New York Magazine, about 3 weeks ago, had 35 of the women that he attacked and raped without consent on the front cover.
Does anybody else have anything, their thoughts on consent, especially from some people we haven't heard from yet?
I like that somebody mentioned that tops have consent, have boundaries and limits too. So, so you know, it's okay. To,
we all have limits and boundaries.
Yeah, now. It's okay to just, you know, say no to unsafe, something you feel is unsafe. Or, so,
yeah, for me, I want the bottom to come back. I want
so
them to come back.
Want them a little more, maybe?
Maybe even want them begging for more.
Yeah.
But wanting them to come.
Yeah, I want them to come back. You know, that's a big part of it. So
but that's a reward.
Yeah,
that's
like you're
being that's
more
approval.
You'll tell them they have to come back.
I'd like to talk about the damage that can happen to tops when consent is jerked around, in the sense that things go great, things are wonderful, and then suddenly the bottom gets, you know, let's say a landmine. You know, where suddenly he gets freaked out about something and he can call the cops. Of course, they're not going to trust the serf because, hey, you know, he's a sadistic leather top, you know, throw him in prison. I've seen it a lot where the bottom has a lot more power than we usually acknowledge.
Yes.
In terms of damaging somebody's reputation, saying, he's not a good serf. No doesn't mean no. And people will believe it because the poor little victim is crying. Even though it might be entirely be bullshit. And I mean, I've been in many circumstances in the last 38 years.
Well, that's a sense of
that
having the community
yeah.
to validate
bet.
Whether
yeah.
that's accurate or not.
Oh, yeah.
And having support and validation that people have integrity to avoid those types of things.
One of the things that I've seen many times that ties in with this is how many absolutely devastated tops I've seen who are horrified because things didn't go right, even though they were doing everything they could to make sure that it would, and then it went sideways, and they're emotionally damaged. I mean, I've had it happen to me, you know, because I thought we were going full consent the whole way, and suddenly, I mean, good example. I was training a Marine, big, tall guy, big, muscular thing, and he'd been a top his whole life, and he wanted to learn how to be a bottom. So he wasn't good at giving good signals. So then I would give him orders, I would say, before you sleep tonight, send me an email with full description of what happened and what you liked and what you didn't, because he wasn't giving good signals. And we played four times, and I had him up against the glass window of the glass door, patio door, and I was fucking him, and suddenly he started collapsing and just curled up on the floor in a fetal position. And I'm poking at him, saying, what's going on? What's going on here? And he wouldn't respond. And so then, you know, after a while he got up, didn't say anything to me, got dressed, and left. And so then I got an email from him saying, you raped me. I went, no, I was there. And, you know, what just happened? And I have no idea what went on in his head. But I'm really glad that he didn't, like, go to the cops or something. Because I made sure at every stage that he was in communication, even though he was a shitty communicator. And I mean, that threw me off my stride for a long time. I thought, did I really? You know, because I'm a liberal. You know, I'm going to take on shit like that just in case. But, you know, I'm really clear. Everybody here, I did not do any rapifying of anybody. Because that was like the 12th time I fucked him, and he loved it every time. It's just that one time, for whatever reason, he got triggered.
So communication is hugely important. And how do we not exploit each other in this process? We talked about in those six principles of non-exploiting. We're not taking advantage of each other. Because it's easy to happen. Mm-hmm. You know, oh, you need a place to stay? Oh, we're going to have sex. You know,
yeah.
That's exploitation.
Yeah.
I met with a guy earlier this year, and he liked superhero costumes. And I like that too. I mean, I like comic books and things like that. And so I said, sure. And he came over to the house and we talked, and then the next time when we got together, we agreed that it was going to be kind of a surprise, that he wouldn't know what was going on. And so we had consent, you know, to a degree. And so about shortly into it, I wanted to take his picture, and he said no. And I had to just go down and say, okay, I don't get any pictures out of this because I want to continue. And we both had a great time. And there was another instance later on where he said, no, I don't want to do that. And I had to say, okay, it's okay. You know, and we still had a good time. But, you know, so we had consent. but it wasn't detailed. And, you know, I just had to say, okay, he doesn't want this, so I can't do it.
And you had a choice.
And I had a choice, and I could have, you know, ruined the evening or, you know, had a great time, and I did.
So, you know, as Kurt said, that fluidity,
yeah.
You know, and which I love that because, you know, you had the choice. You could go with it or not. Mm-hmm. And so you had a much better time by flowing with it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so you didn't get pictures. You have memories.
Absolutely. I've got memories.
Here's my camera.
No.
So exploitation, especially if we're doing power dynamics, why do we not exploit each other? Does that come into thoughts for people? Exploitation.
That's human nature.
But we don't want to exploit people.
We're always exploiting each other.
Are we?
It's not always sex.
Are we exploiting each other? Even if it's agreed to? Maybe. So
let's have a definition of exploiting.
Well, I think just taking advantage of each other. Of someone.
Taking unfair advantage?
I think that's up for discussion. Whether it's unfair or not.
If there's a hungry big bottom and he lets me go with two hands, mm-hmm. I'm going to take a bath.
Right, but that's not exploiting.
I think that's not taking advantage of it that way.
Exploiting would be when you have
an unfair advantage.
Looking at your own mm-hmm. pleasure and not theirs in any way.
Yeah.
And you're there just to get off mm-hmm. without respect to.
Oh, yeah.
Like the branding without consent.
Yeah.
But also, you know,
I wouldn't call that a date.
Wants to get off.
I mean, let's do some examples, like selfish top or selfish bottom. Selfish bottom who wants me to spank him. He comes over, this happened like almost 40 years ago, and I pulled down his diapers and I start spanking him. He jerked off and, all right, I'm out of here, poof, and he's gone. And I'm sitting there with a red hand going, okay, where's my end of the thing? And okay, I got exploited by that guy. He's not going to get called back. Also, you know, as a top, you know, I mean, it'd be very, I mean, I take very unfair advantage of my slaves all the time.
But is that unfair?
Oh, no. They don't think so. That's the key.
So some definitions of exploit make full use of and derive benefit from a resource. Use a situation or person in an unfair or selfish way.
Mm-hmm.
Benefit unfairly from the work of someone, typically by overworking or underpaying them.
Mm-hmm.
Could also be a bold or daring feat. As well as a software tool designed to take advantage of a flaw in a computer system, typically for malicious purposes, such as installing malware. So.
Okay.
So that unfair advantage.
Yes.
And I think the key word is unfair advantage.
Or also you talked about mutual pleasure.
Mm-hmm.
And with exploitation, there's not a mutual benefit occurring.
Yeah.
One person is benefiting, the other person is.
Now, in the case Tony brought up, maybe if his pleasure was purely spanking someone, then that would have been perfect. But it wasn't. He expected more, and that wasn't agreed upon.
But you're saying it could have been fine.
If his kink was spanking,
yeah.
And he got off on that, that's what he loved to do, then it would have been perfect.
Yeah.
But it wasn't, because he wanted more than that, and was expecting more than that.
And again, it's all depending on what your definition is from moment to moment, because there are people who like to be exploited. Cash slaves, for instance. Let's say somebody in Lithuania, who doesn't ever care if they ever meet that Big Sur in, you know, California, I'm not naming any names, but will gladly send him money just because he likes to feel like he's doing something nice for that Sir. There's a lot of that out there.
It's something that they agree upon and that they get a lot of pleasure to.
Yeah. They wouldn't be online on cashslave.com, you know, or yourcashismycash.com, you know, if they were not. We got to do a lot of verbal abuse when you do sign up for those.
But they're getting something out of it.
Oh, yeah. They're getting jack-off material from it like crazy because you call them, you know, call them filthy little fags and, that, you know, they're scum that you scrape off your shoes and they go, oh, tell me more. So it's a whole different definition.
Absolutely. And so that's not what we're talking about.
talking about when it's unfair, when it's, you know, you're taking advantage of someone, you know, and, or, you know, and all, it happens a lot, you know, there's a lot of people out there, you know, having sex for survival, which is sad. Oh, and hopefully that's not in this room, but it's going on out there. A lot of survival sex out there.
That's not dead.
Meaning that they get, they're getting paid?
Well, they're getting shelter, they're getting food, they're getting clothing.
Yeah.
You know, and they have to give up something.
Oh, I spent time with a lawyer, and I'm about to rescue those people.
There's a lot of couch surfing going on.
Yeah, there is.
That, I think where they show up for a date and they don't go away.
And I don't remember exactly what the bumper sticker said, but something about, you know, there are no free rides.
That's the old one, yeah.
Gas, grass, or
ass.
Yes. Nobody rides for free. Exactly.
Was it gas, grass, or ass?
Yeah.
That's exploitation. Is it? You know, maybe they agree upon it. I don't know. But I think we all have to figure that out for ourselves.
Right. Well, that kind of brings in with the rack, because within this community,
so the
now,
risk,
there's a
aware,
risk, be aware of the risk that if you sign on to be someone's cash slave, that there's a risk involved, and be aware of that.
Yeah.
And you may get, you might get exploited.
As long as you're aware of it.
As long as you're aware of
it. And you're okay with it, and you agree to it.
Right.
Same with flogging. You may end up with a bruised back or spanking.
Right. Right. Or tied with barbed wire and flogged.
Yeah.
There is going to be a risk.
Stuart.
I have a question regarding fantasy versus reality. Mm-hmm. And my fantasies go way beyond what I would ever consent to in reality. There's a divide there. I can jack off thinking about just ridiculously crazy stuff, but I wouldn't consent to it. So I think there's, you know, there is a, I don't know how other people look at that, but that's the way I operate, I think.
Some things need to stay in there.
Oh, yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, there are a lot of drawings on the internet that are really
graphic,
but it's like, I don't think that's ever happened in reality, but the person created it, and you can really get turned on and jack off
exactly.
to it. But would you ever do all that stuff and stick all those things where they show them? I don't think so.
Top of Finland kind of rode that
yeah,
a little
yeah.
bit.
Well, there was a grease tank.
Oh, yeah.
And that was just awesome art that was just way out there. Nasty, nasty, nasty. And but again, you know, that's where, you know, you can jack off fantasizing about that stuff, but putting it into reality is a whole different story. So I think there's and I don't think there's anything wrong in having that divide. I think actually that's a healthy divide, saying in.
But says, yeah, but being
sane is the dividing line.
Right.
Yeah,
what
does sane mean?
Well, that's and I think sane for me would be balancing reality with fantasy.
Right. You like stretching.
Would you care to draw a diagram?
Well, and there's also
and that comes in with the my train of thought. Expectation
mm-hmm.
with fantasy versus reality,
mm-hmm.
and the communication is the fluidity is coming in and putting that out there is that I have this fantasy,
can we operate
right, and then we move into a problem. That sounds like then we move into rack.
Yes.
You know, if you want me to be Godzilla. Or knife play or whatever.
Do we all know what RAC stands for?
Right.
Yeah.
Remember?
Who does not?
Risk awareness. We're risk aware consensual kink.
Mm-hmm.
Risk aware consensual kink.
Well, Stuart, I have a question for you. So, what's keeping you? If you have a fantasy, let's say if you don't have a dream, how do you have to make a dream come true? So what's keeping you, if you've already got the fantasy, what's keeping you, comma, what would it take to make it become true?
Well, you're missing my point, I think. My point is that there are certain fantasies that are not sane. There are certain fantasies that are realistic.
Okay.
Some social mores that come into play.
And, there's a lot of things that you know, put limits on what you really can practically or sanely do.
Yeah.
Or have, like 4 foot long cocks. Or tentacles.
Which falls into the expectation.
Yeah. Well, and then that goes further into, like, when you're talking to this person and having these negotiations, that's where the negotiations become real important.
Yes.
You know, somebody says, well, I think I want to try military interrogation. Okay, well, you realize it'll take like 3 days. We're going to have you in an abandoned room. You're not going to be able to pee, or you might not get regular meals, blah, blah. Why don't we start with something small? Yeah, but I mean, there are people that when I went to Sin City in Vegas, there's a guy presenting exactly that whole topic. And he was trained by Mossad in interrogation, by the U.S. Navy in interrogation, and he's done full interrogation scenes. But these are with people who are seriously experienced players. And so the person who says, I have no limits, we're not going to, you know, okay, great. Just turn that just down about 5, and let's try some stuff and see what you think, because that's where the fantasy versus reality, the new people.
And then you move it to the rack.
Oh, yeah, because they're, my penis to a board. Okay, well, why don't we just, let's start with some flogging. Let's start with something tame, and then we'll see where we go from there.
We'll have a staple gun later.
Yeah, exactly. And so, the negotiations then become paramount to find out whether or not this person is really operating in a rational, kind of sane mode. Their expectations.
And that's really important, you know, to have a good scene, you know, that both people are operating in a realistic terms. You know, are they at the same level as you talked about? You know, is that understanding there? What do you really know what you're talking about? What you're asking for?
Yeah.
Well, there's the other aspect of, you know, pushing limits too. How, you know, where do you draw the boundaries again? You know, and I think it's always feedback.
And trust.
Push till, you know, you can't go further, I think, is what people are often looking for.
Right.
They don't want to just, you know, keep it, you know, this in this box and that's it. Generally, they want to kind of expand that box.
But you do that over time.
Right, right.
And as you develop a relationship of playing together,
right,
you're able to expand that box.
Mm-hmm.
It all comes down to credibility. If you've taken time to invest in somebody and you've proven yourself over and over again as somebody who is credible, you know, you can't buy credibility with any amount of money, as I've said, so that I'm a lot more likely to succeed in helping him expand his envelope, you know, whatever term we might use, and push him to whole new limits and new vistas that he never imagined, if he trusts me utterly at every stage of the place in the months and years leading up to that. You know, that it's not going to happen on a second date. You know, it's not going to happen with some random stranger. I mean, at least not for me. You know, because if I'm going to get my yah-yahs, I have to know that what I'm doing is having a positive effect. And that is why, you know, frankly, somebody who just goes stoic on me, I lose interest, because I don't want stoic. They're trying to impress the big top with how much they can take, so they're hiding everything. I say, when you're ready to actually play with me and let me know what's actually going on, I'm willing to come back. But in the meantime, just laying there like a dead fish just bores the fuck out of me. Because I'm not getting my feedback so that I know how I'm doing. Because if I'm not getting the proper feedback, I'm not going to play. That's me being informed.
And it's also not only the bottom expanding, it's the top expanding as well, and what they want to be able to do and play. It's both ways.
Right. To extend what Sir was saying is that when we first got together, I was convinced that nobody's ever going to use a single tail on me. That just looked entirely too painful. And after years of building up trust and knowing that I would not come to any harm. I got single-tailed the shit out of me up at Dory Alley last weekend. And it was amazing, and I love it. And it really is a matter of consent expanding as the trust expands.
The first time that eons ago, this really hot muscle guy wanted me to stick needles in his nipples, and I'd never done it, and I thought, I'm going to do damage. But so the ironic thing was that probably he did 99% of the work that first and second time. You know, just sort of taking my hand, and he was doing all this stuff that I should have known how to do, but I didn't. But, you know, so I didn't have any problems him teaching me how to do it and all that kind of stuff. So it just was, he wanted to have me do it, and I wanted to, nothing ventured, nothing gained. And so, okay, well, let's give it a try. But he was the one really, you know, doing it.
What I always teach tops is I say the bottom will teach you, because there's no way any of us can know everything. There's just no way. Like, for instance, until I met Bob, I had absolutely zero interest in owning a slave at all. It was like, yeah, and I already know what that's about. Well, I knew nothing about it. I had stereotypes, I had presuppositions, and it wasn't what showed up. And with his requests, with his feedback, with his, you know, wish lists, his, you know, his fantasies that I would tell him to send to me, the more I learned, the more I tried, and I thought, oh my God, this is fucking amazing. Now he's ruined me for anything else. But, you know, that I had to turn my thoughts around in order to consent to what he wanted to. You know, that, like I said. Yeah. Didn't mean to kill the conversation, sorry.
No, I just think there's still a few people we haven't heard from, and I really would love to hear lots of people on any of these topics we've talked about tonight.
Does anybody here have any bummer examples of consent going awry?
Because misunderstandings happen.
You mean blanket consent was somebody who didn't have a safe word, and luckily I was being spanked pretty badly. And luckily it was with the other people in the building doing similar things, and they saw how bruised my butt was, they stumped it.
Yeah. Oh, right.
Yeah.
I do that.
Yeah, so doing it in a public place helped.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's why play parties can be fun, because you get to see other people, and you get to, you know, experience other things, and you get to see some wonderful things, and hopefully protect others if necessary.
Matt, if you don't mind, what did that look like? How did the other people intervene? Mm-hmm. I'd like to know. Paint us a picture of how did that come about.
Pretty much a couple other people came into the room that we were in, and they looked at me and they go, oh, I think you need to stop. So they go,
yeah.
And like,
okay. But, so let me, and they talked to the top. And
uh-huh.
spoke to
well,
the
let
top.
Me ask you this. Did you want to stop at that point? Or were you just unaware of how far you had?
I think I was unaware of how far it had
gone. Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Were you and bleeding?
What?
Were you bleeding? Or
no, just
bleeding under the skin, yeah.
Or blistering?
Bruising.
Bruising
really
oh,
bad.
Okay.
Yeah.
And did the top immediately stop, or he had to be told more than once?
Oh, I think it was a couple times.
Really?
And didn't check in with you?
No.
Yeah. Bad topic.
Okay, and with that, this is really good. And with that, so a couple of times, and then he eventually stopped.
Uh-huh.
And then what happened after that? What was his being, how was he being with you?
Any aftercare?
Yeah.
Not really, no.
Yeah.
What is not
aftercare
really?
With the other people in there, other people that were there.
They gave
in
you
in the socializing room, yeah.
Yeah, but he didn't give you any
aftercare. No. Not really.
And there are some tops who don't, but that's part of the negotiation at the beginning.
Yeah.
But as long as they can arrange for the aftercare to happen.
But he didn't. He didn't arrange for it.
No. He
yeah.
didn't arrange for anything. And he said, oh.
Yeah. Bad
yeah.
top. Bad top.
There's some tops on Recon that have like 10 things about the slaves' Bill of Rights.
Uh-huh.
And I really respect them for saying, hey, you're going to be my slave, but here are your Bill of Rights, and all of these empower you.
It's still a relationship.
Yeah.
Thanks, Matt. Thank you.
Well, and that goes into reputation, too, because if you know, these people have put out the Bill of Rights or even have their slaves write their own protocols and things like that, you know, this may not be, this is not going to be your only slave, you know, the relationship may last, and you develop a reputation, and so it's like, you know, it's the old thing about saying about breaking your toys. You know, you want people coming back. You want people saying, yes, he was the best sir I've ever had. And even if the relationship didn't work out, everyone knows you're a stand-up guy and you're ethical. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're going to be having fun for the rest of your life. Yeah.
And that's our goal.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It is.
Street cred.
Yeah, within the community. And that's why it's important to have this community. You know, within the community, it's really important.
Yeah.
One, to give us more opportunities to play. Mm-hmm. One, to learn more, and to have that opportunity to continue playing for the rest of our lives.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Has anyone ever set up like a Yelp type of thing for people?
No, that would be counterproductive.
Like rate your professor.
Yeah.
Actually, there is. It's on Squirt.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we can rate people. Yeah. And I haven't experienced that, but I would love to see that happen more. Because, see, I'm going to go off in a different direction here. I'm the highest rated Apple consultant on Earth, according to Apple's website, for 5 years and 3 months. I've got about as many 5-star ratings as the rest of Southern California put together, really. And the reason why that rating system exists is because of me. Because I was fucking tired of being lumped in with shitty consultants. And they couldn't, and the customers couldn't tell the difference. And I think that really should be happening in the leather community too. That there ought to be some kind of rating system so that the really good ones can be acknowledged for it.
Take a little star and put on your
jacket. Uber, not only do you rate the driver, but the driver rates the customer.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah.
So as a customer, you get a lot of bad ratings. They won't come pick you up.
Interesting.
That's
good.
Yeah.
Like, that could kind of force tipping you around. That could be just he didn't tip me good enough.
Don't know.
Yeah.
That's pretty much built in. It takes it out of your check.
So, and we sort of, I think we've been going for almost over an hour now. Any other thoughts on consent or any of the topics? You know, we talked about consent, non-exploitive, mutual pleasure, being honest. Protection, safe, sane, and then rack, risk-aware, consensual kink. It's a lot of topics, and it's what we're always thinking about when we're playing, and how do we have fun with it? Bottom line, how do we have fun with it?
Being involved is really important, I think, when it comes to like any situation. So it's like, if you're not really involved with something and you're not giving, I think, your effort, and I guess, for example, you can say, consent and your interest or your, negotiating factors, I think that can really make an experience or, like, a session, like, amazing or, really bad. So.
Yes, exactly, that communication. You really have to be involved and, and as what Magnum's going to do more in September, ask for what you want, what you need.
I think I just think it all together, like involvement with, yourself with someone else is really important. So,
So make it the best you can. Yeah. And it's that, come down to communication. Don't be afraid to speak up.
Well, I've done what Papa Tony has done, but having them after the fact try to send me a message or whatever. And in some cases, they don't want to say anything there, but after the fact, they think about some things. Then they feel a little more comfortable to say, well, I really liked it, except for when you... And it's like, okay, I need to know that, But tell me those.
Or they may not be able to respond right then and there.
Yep. And as you think about it, then they think, well, if I could change, that thing, I would really,
Because we're dealing with people in altered states of consciousness, subspace, dom space, these altered states, and sometimes it's hard to communicate in that moment. And yet, we still need to be able to. And that's a challenge we have. playing in these altered spaces.
That's well, I don't care for verbal signals because mm-hmm. lots of times I get into his space.
Yes.
But my eyes, I always raise the mm-hmm. hand. Because sometimes when they just move their elbow, mm-hmm. like in the stockade, I'll stop.
Right.
If I see a body part moving, I take that as a sign to slow down and check in.
Yeah, or the squeaky toy you mentioned, or a sound, yeah. you know, something that you know ahead of time. Stuart?
I was going to say, you know, I think oftentimes if you're playing with somebody and you might not enjoy certain aspects of it, but you're not going to necessarily stop it because they're enjoying it, and it's not like the worst.
But your pleasure is that they're enjoying it. Possibly.
That's I think that's absolutely right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I think you're giving something that's not. I mean, it's not something you're going to say stop, but you let limits be pushed.
Because your whether pleasure is to be...
Whether you're enjoying it specifically or not, I think I've been there, and I'm just asking, I think, mm-hmm. is that a natural part of the process?
Because your pleasure may not be getting spanked, but you pleasure submitted.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah,
that's an example.
That's probably it, yeah.
You know, even though you're not enjoying all of it, it's still...
Right, exactly.
You're
I don't
still
think
doing something else
I don't
on
think
it.
The expectation should be that you're necessarily going to enjoy every aspect of a
right.
scene, mm-hmm. necessarily, but you're open to trying and experiencing.
And what is it do
provided,
you get pleasure from?
Provided that... Yeah.
Yeah. I will sometimes do something for a dom that I don't particularly want to do, but because they like it,
mm-hmm.
I'll do it, even though it's
yeah.
you get off on them having
right.
the pleasure
exactly.
of it.
It's a different kind
mm-hmm.
of an enjoyment.
Yeah.
It's not necessarily a physical enjoyment, it's more of a mental.
Yeah.
And that okay. that is exactly the thing with me in Singletail. I'm not a pain pig. I do not like it. I like the fact that I can do that for
right.
him.
Exactly.
And I'm willing to put up with the pain to please him.
And so that
mutual
pleasure
it's
very
it's,
different.
It's that giving to him what he needs and feeling his pleasure. That
that's
turns
me
on. That,
let me
that
ask,
is...
Let me ask Papa Tommy, you understand this.
Oh, yeah.
You
he's
can,
explained it to me about 80
okay.
times.
Okay. That's, yeah.
yeah,
that's
yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
I'd like to talk about creating ongoing consent as an active thing. You know, we were talking about fluidity and all that. This is like the number one thing that I love to teach other toms. The reason why I talk so much during the scene is because in the absence of information, somebody, if they're not getting the information they're looking for, their mind goes wildly off into a tangent thinking, oh crap, maybe he thinks I'm too fat. Maybe I think he thinks to this of me. Oh, maybe it's just like it was when I got beaten when I was 5 or whatever. The way that I prevent things from going off into the weeds is by being completely communicative at every space. I mean, from moment to moment, I say, oh, yeah, that's hot. I love that. But only if I mean it. I don't do porn dialogue. Porn dialogue is the opposite of sexy. Yeah, fuck yeah. Yeah, fuck yeah. Yeah, fuck yeah. I mean, who the hell says that in real life?
A lot of 70s porn did that.
Yeah, they did. And it was such a... And I turned off the volume. Because I couldn't stand to listen to it, because it's not real communication. It isn't, oh yeah, now this is hot, and now I want to do this. How do you feel about that? Let's go for it. Let's have some fun. Where you're constantly creating a flow, because they know from moment to moment what the big scary top is thinking. So that they don't have to fill up the empty space with their own imaginings, their own, you know, freakouts. That they always know how I'm feeling, so that I guide the flow. You know, it's an active thing that I do.
And for other people, they don't want any of that.
Yeah.
You know,
those
and that's part of the
that,
negotiation.
Yeah.
Some people like lots of dialogue
right.
and need it. Mm-hmm. And others, you know, they want to have earplugs in it, you know, and
right.
completely have sensory deprivation,
they
not hearing anything.
They never come to me. They're looking for
so,
somebody that's going to guide.
And that's, but
yeah.
everyone wants something different. It's not always that. And that's part of the negotiation.
Mm-hmm.
And to keep it flowing. Because others, that's a turnoff. And others, they need it. They need that. So we have to find out what turns someone on. What pushes their buttons in the good way.
I don't know. I like check-ins.
Yeah.
I don't like the conversation.
You know, Jay was
I'm zoning out, enjoying it.
Yeah, I'm not saying I do
check
it all
in.
The time.
No, I'm saying Jay
was
hearing
that
he's
up and check-in.
You know,
yeah.
you know, he checks in
right.
with the body language, not so much verbally.
Right.
Yeah. And that's hat style. And just be aware that there are a lot of different styles. There's no one way of doing it. And we have to find our own style, what works for us, what doesn't work for us.
And what works for the bottom.
Yes, yeah. And what works for the bottom.
That's the primary thing.
Yes.
Yeah. If our style's not compatible, then say, well,
right.
Then we'll do it again.
Right, exactly. We have to figure out what works for the two people or three people in that scene or four people.
Or five or six.
Five,
yeah, exactly.
I had a bottom that was really into verbal, but after the fact that several times, and it's not a word I use at all, but in Brooklyn I would use it, but faggot, and after the fact he was very upset and said, I don't think I'm going to ever come back because I really resent being like faggot. And yet, I heard you call me anything dirty, so I use a whole lot of terms, but that term really
anything but
something.
That word.
And so, well, I didn't know that going into this.
You said any word.
You said any word but, then of course I wouldn't have used it.
And that often happens.
Yeah.
And so we have to be careful of that. And we're not going to know that it's a landmine until it's sometimes too late.
Yeah.
That's why landmines are so effective. By the time we step on
there, there was a great article on FetLife where the guy's partner basically said, I want you to make me cry. And so he said, I never loved you.
Oh.
But before he said it, he told him, I'm going to say something to you, it's not going to be true, but this is what you want, and I never loved you, never lived it down. Totally devastated. Even after going back and saying, ask me to say something. And it was like, if you get that one thing, and
be careful what you ask for.
And that partner, he did rack. That was rack.
Involved before
he said what he said.
They were in a long-term relationship. This is something they've done before.
Explained exactly what he was going
to
do.
I'll do anything for love, but I won't do that.
Yeah, that one thing, that was that one trigger that just, anything but that.
Right. I'm going to tell you something that's not going to be true.
Yeah.
And we have to be careful of that stuff. Maybe do you even go there?
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, even if they want it,
right.
Sometimes you have to...
Find other ways of getting it.
Yeah. You have to save it from themselves sometimes. Because, they may want it, but it's like, you know what's going to happen.
Right. Yeah. But are there other ways of getting there?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And that's a challenge. It's a real challenge. And sometimes it's difficult.
Challenge and a beauty and
increases
skill and all that trying.
I've heard some boys say they wanted like the biggest dildo. What's the biggest dildo you have? And so I take out my bag and I have like this John Holmes dildo, which is really huge. And then I start working on them, starting to get them relaxed, and I realize that they're resisting my little finger.
That's where fantasy and reality don't match yet.
Yes.
So you just tell them, it's in that big dildo.
That's right.
That's right, you're taking it all.
Cool. This has really been a great discussion tonight.
Yes.
Any other thoughts?
I just wanted to clarify, when I was talking about talking, that's when I'm playing with somebody new. You know, when I'm establishing trust. If I have known them for a long time, I don't do so much dialogue. I don't need to. And they don't need to.
Yeah, they're just different styles. And there is no right or wrong. It's just different. I think that we need to be aware of that there are different ways. And you're right, we're playing with someone for the first time. It's going to be very different than playing with someone for the, 10 years later. Okay. It's going to be very different.
Well, consensual non-consent is out there. And so there are people that play in those kind of environments where they give up all consent to their partner, to their top, and they say, they have that kind of trust. And that it's a thing.
But it takes time.
Oh, yeah, that's a massive trust.
Exactly. That, that they trust that no one's going to do any, permanent damage.
What's the big responsibility?
The huge responsibility.
It's not just being prepared for any possibilities, but it's also at the same time you have to stimulate them for that, and that can be a challenge.
Sure, because it's a huge responsibility playing, and to do it well, and to make everybody happy. But hopefully that's our goal, and that's what we're doing, so we all can be playing for a long, long time.
and having lots of fun with it.
Anybody got anything else? Donnie?
What do you say about people that post things like on Craigslist or other places where they're like, I'm at this address in a dark room, I'm tied up on my bed, come and do whatever you want to me kind of thing?
Well, the first time, no. You know, like you know, Magna, I want to talk to someone first. I want to see who I'm playing with. And I know that's not everybody's fantasy. They want to have that anonymous,
come fuck me and take a check and look at my TV.
The glory hole, we're not even seeing who's on the other side. You know, a lot of stuff like that.
I mean, I've seen them on Craigslist before, and it's like, you see these things, and it's like, I would never go to that place or whatever like that. But it was just,
get that.
You can only imagine what would happen if somebody did.
People post that may not even be right. That just may be a fantasy there. They're posting, like, but they're not even hotel room waiting.
Yeah. Or they could lure, it could be a setup.
Does it stay like that?
Or it could be genuine, and there are people that are.
Absolutely.
The people that have new profiles. Contact me in 2 weeks if you're still up here. Because so many of the new profiles, when you look and see they were created that day or yesterday, they have hot pictures of hot studs, and then you realize a week later, profile not found.
That's that catfish thing again.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the other reason, like groups like this, so we get to meet people, see who they are.
Well, and they'll tell you, I can't Skype, but I can email it, I can send you some pictures, can you give me your email? It's like, no thank you. That's a big red flag if they want your email, because then they can try to hack into stuff. Mm. So you don't ever send them your email to send you pictures, because they don't have pictures posted on their profile. Post pictures on the website that we're talking on.
There's lots of people out there to play with.
Yeah, I got online one time. This guy gave me this big sleigh thing. It's like, but you have to buy the equipment that I want.
Yeah, very typical.
Gee, there's nothing suspicious about that.
But they do succeed on that because there's just not enough really dominant servers out there, so guys get desperate.
Yeah, it's playing the odds, It's like those guys on the corner, you think not earning money, but you get enough cars going by, and God bless you, Jesus saved you, and they get a lot of money.
So much more other people make.
Yeah, it's like $60 an hour.
Crazy.
Because you think of how much can you get, if you get a buck here and there, but if you got 50,000 cars, you can get a lot of money.
Any other thoughts on our topic tonight?
Dirty pants?
Get your cardboard sign and say, homeless, dead, hungry.
God bless you.
God bless you. Well, thank you all for coming. It's fantastic.
Let's pass the bucket around.
Yes, we want to pay for our space, so donation, please.
Stop that.
Is there any demonstrations related to this?